Again, the pasuk says that the Torah is ayelus ahavim, the derech Hashem is a beloved thing, and why do you chase after strange women? Meaning, why do you chase after things that are full of nonsense and hevel and lead to absolutely no good? Ki noichach einei Hashem darchei ish v'chol ma'aglo yisov mefales. This is the pasuk that we are up to. Perek hey, pasuk chof aleph in Mishlei. Says the Bir Hagra, as he was explaining already earlier in Mishlei and particularly in the previous pasuk, he divides the various negative aspects of a person into two large categories. One of them is called taiva, and the other one is called chemda. And as I pointed out, he's already said a number of times, and he will say in the future, later on in the Sefer, in his Biur on Mishlei, that the difference between the two is that one is much more animal and part of the instincts of a person, and the other one is a higher level of desire, which has to do with, mostly with kavod and its associated evils. Taiva is the physical desire, the desire of the flesh, desires of the appetite. So here he says, Ki noichach Hashem darkei ishu neged hachemda, ashehem holchei drachim kanal, lachein omar shenoichach Hashem darkei ish. The drachim of a person are apparent to Hashem. Hashem sees when a person goes out of his dalet amos to chase after kavod and power and so on. V'chol ma'aglo sov mefales hu neged ha'taiva shema'agal hu koton miderech. So it's very interesting. Very often derech and orach are compared. Here we use the word ma'agal. So I'd like to pause for a second and take a look at the Malbim. Because the Malbim was also concerned, when do you speak about derech and when do you speak about ma'agal? Now of course ma'agal comes from the word agol. What does agol mean? Round. Circuitous, going around in circles. Derech, of course, can also be going around. But when we use the word derech in contrast to ma'agal, we mean a straight path. So, of course, the drachim here and the ma'agal here are in negatives. But let's see what the Malbim says. Ki noichach Hashem darchei ish. I'm reading to you the Pirush of the Malbim on Mishlei on this pasuk Chof Aleph in Perek Hay. Kinoichach einei Hashem darcheish. Haderech hu haderech hayoshar. Derech means when there's a straight line, a straight path. V'hamagal hu haderech hasibuvi. And magal is a roundabout path. It's a circular path. V'imodeid es hamagal lahagia al yodo el haderech hayoshar. Ze nikra pelis. Pelis, of course, is a mosnayim. It's a scale. But scales sometimes weigh things, right? And sometimes it's simply a word for measuring, like measuring a distance. So he says when you're trying to figure, you know, he's talking geometry now. He's saying if you have the circumference of a circle and you want to know how to get the easiest way from A to B, then you have to figure out what the circumference is, and then you'll know the radius and the diameter, and you'll know which way to go. This is what he's trying to say. Alze Omar, Shedarkei ish hanafshiim hayishorim heim noichach Hashem. V'hu heichin lo haderech hayoshor al pi ha-toyra. K'mo she'omru, v'hodato lohem es haderech asher yelchu bo. V'gam kol ma'aglo sov mefales, She'im lefamim tzarich laleches b'magal note miderech hayosher, kamo b'midas chasidus v'lifnim ishur asadin, o lavor al divrei Torah lefi tzarich shah kamo Eliyahu b'har ha-karmel, she'zen nikra magal, Hashem mefaleis u'mechavein gamis ha-magal, she'yagia al yodo el haderech hayosher. So first of all, the Malbim is interpreting that this pasuk is in the positive. It's in the positive. It says, in other words, that a person who is trying, who is striving to achieve Ratzon Hashem, so he is going in a derech hayosha. That Derech HaYosher has already been paved by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Siyata D'Shmaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him is that he could remain on the Derech and not stray off the Derech. So that is called Derech. Now, where do we know that? Well, we're so used to the word that we wonder why the Malbim needs to tell us that. We speak about going off the Derech. That's exactly the phrase that we use all the time. It's interesting, we don't use so often going on the Derech. Because the assumption is that we're on the Derech automatically. Nishta zei poshet, by the way. But the assumption is that we're on the Derech, and if somebody strays, he's going off the Derech. But the Malbim uses that expression. So where does that come from? This is Beferish Apostle. Vaydata lohem es haderech asher yelchu bo ves hamase asher yasu. I want to focus on that for a second. There's a difference, because whenever the Torah says two things, obviously they're two separate things. So there's es haderech asher yelchu bo, and then there's hamase asher yasu. So what is the difference between the two? So I pointed this out many, many times. At the beginning it says, "In b'chukosai teilechu, that's mitzvosai tishmeru." Now, even though they don't use the word derech there, right? But the word teilechu is proving to us that we're talking about a derech. Because you don't walk unless you're walking on a path. So when the pasuk says, "In b'chukosai teilechu," in contradistinction to "es mitzvosai tishmeru," it is exactly the equivalent of Vahodat Elohim, number one, Es Haderech Asher Yelchu Ba, and number two, Es Hamaaseh Asher Yasu. You see my point? In other words, the beginning of B'chukosai is reflecting these two very different moments in Avodas Hashem. So Maaseh is pretty straightforward. You pick up a lulav, it's a Maaseh. You put on tefillin, it's a Maaseh. You give tzedakah, it's a Maaseh. What about derech? So the first of all, derech includes all the negatives that you avoid. That's not called maaseh. But avoiding something is a lifetime preoccupation for the Jew. And that's part of derech. But there's much more to derech. Let me explain. I've always asked this question, and I'm sure that at some point in the earlier kashurim I must have mentioned it. It's not shy that I didn't. Because this is very fundamental to my whole worldview about Yiddishkeit. The question that I had is, Rashi tells us from Chazal that im b'chukosai teilechu means shetiyu ameilim b'tayra. Also maybe an appropriate thing to mention after the p'tira of such a tremendous masmer, who, when we start thinking about, you know, they describe people, they have average minds, they weren't geniuses, but they became gedolim through hasmada. You have to be careful when you hear something like that. It is not so pashut. A lot of times, the reason you think the person has an average mind is because his mind has not been triggered yet, or his mind is a tsanua, and he doesn't show his mind. And certain minds have certain stellar qualities which are immediately obvious. You know, like, you give a person 15 numbers to add up, each number has 6 integers to it, then obviously he's an incredible genius, at least in that inyan. You know, so some things you can, or you give a person a piece of Gemara, and 10 minutes later you say, repeat it, baal peh. Those kind of things, you can see the genius. Sometimes there are more subtle qualities of genius that you may not be able to notice right away. And some things develop over time, but they're genius just the same. It's not always so pushy to say he's an average person, you know, with 100 IQ, and he became a godel b'tayra. But hasmada definitely has a lot to do with it. And whether one becomes a godel mamish, you know, the Madrega, Moshe Feinstein was a genius of geniuses. A genius of geniuses. You can't even imagine. The only way a person can feel the genius of Reb Moshe is by learning his Sfarim, and the Dibros Moshe much more than the Igros Moshe. Much more than the Igros Moshe. And then you see a person that has done all of the sugya in the palm of his hand, every detail ironed out to the extreme. Rishonim galor. It's unbelievable. But you don't always notice, not that level of genius, but still a person could be a genius and you don't necessarily notice it. But be that as it may, everyone is maskim that hasmada, this constant, intense, commitment to learning carries a person very far. That requires not just the zitzer, you know, not just the zitzplesh. It requires not just the time. It also requires the attitude. And amelus is an attitude more than anything else. You know, when we speak about struggling and striving and learning, we're talking about something that is beyond sitting in front of a gemara. It has a lot to do with concentration too. But it's more than concentration also. It's a feeling that it's not enough. What I know already, it's not enough. It's deeper. It's more complex. There's more to it than I understand today. As I always point out about a siyum, the whole tafkid of a siyum is to be prepared to learn again. That's why we say, Hadron, we return to you, because my background now is improved so that I understand anew and afresh something in the Gemara that I learned already that I didn't understand yesterday. And you could do that 100 times or 500 times. The koyach of Torah is such that it keeps revealing to you its secrets as the amelus deepens and as the hasmada increases. So the idea of shetir amelim bat Torah, Chazal felt that that's in the words in b'chukosai teilechu. So Rashi wants to explain to us, where did they find that? Because after all, in b'chukosai teilechu doesn't say it shetiyu amelim b'Torah. There's not even a remez to it. There's no hint to the idea of amelus b'Torah in the words in b'chukosai teilechu. So Rashi says, well, what else could it mean? To keep the mitzvahs of the Torah? Right afterwards it says, in b'chukosai teilechu, and you should keep the mitzvahs of the Torah as well. So if he says two things that he already said, Kvar Amur, Rashi says, Es mitzvah say tishmu, then B'chukos Tlech must mean something else. So I have two major questions. Just because it doesn't mean A, doesn't prove that it dafka means B. Maybe it means C. Maybe it means D. How do you know that because there's an extra phrase, that that phrase means Amelim Batov? My question number two is, who is the Ribbon Shalom talking to in that pasuk? The answer is all of Klal Yisrael, men and women. No question about it. It's talking to the women. If you're going to reduce and narrow the Imbuch HaKosai Teilechu to a mitzvah that only men perform, then what happened to the Imbuch HaKosai Teilechu for the women? So it's almost like there's a chelak of the pasuk that we have to explain why this bedafka, and we also have to explain, if so generic, how did it get narrowed? And of course, there's a simple answer to both of those questions.
The Gemara says how the women, those noshim and maizochu, that they wait for the balei and
Aizos,
they have a share in it.
Of course, you're 100% right, but you see, When there are certain questions that are questions like you know, I'm stuck, and there's certain questions that are the introduction to the explanation. Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's obvious that we're not talking about the specific act of learning Torah alone. We're talking about Klal Yisrael's orientation. And Klal Yisrael's orientation, you will not find expression of the orientation towards learning Torah of the women that's connected to Amelim BaTorah better than the Gemara in Ksubas Dav Samach Beis. Because you see, there you're talking about an extraordinary commitment to learn. In those days, to master Torah took approximately 12 years just to get it down pat the first time around. There were two different patterns. One pattern, they would get engaged, betrothed. They knew who their shidduch would be, and then they would leave and disappear in the yeshivas for 12 years. Then you have the other model. That's the model of Rachel and Rabbi Akiva. They get married, and she is almost like an aguna. And he's gone for
12 plus 12.
He goes for the 12 and he comes back and she says, it's not enough. She says it's not enough. Halavai, you should go for another 12. Oh, she gives me permission. Back he goes. Do you know that Rabbi Yeruchim's children were all, Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mir Mashgiach that I always mention, his children were all born exactly the same time of the calendar year, because he was gone from Sukkot to Pesach. Gone. Where did he go? Zasson Galel. It's incredible. Now, when you talk about Amelus Batayra, you're talking about the women who can handle such a notion. For somebody to be able to be plugged into this kind of intense and absolute commitment to Torah, which sequesters them in some corner of the world, and there they have responsibility to wait, and waiting is very not poshut. You know the maisa that I had. I repeat it many times. We're standing outside of Chasna Hall, and was a hall that has a divide that is impregnable between the men's side and the women's side. It could be if you go into the boiler room and come up the other way, I don't know. But that's about it. So how did the men and the women ever get together to leave? This is before the cell phones. Before the cell phones. You see, cell phones, such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Such a wonderful thing. A kapara. But anyhow, before the cell phones. So they made up Chaim Yankel and his wife Sprintzer, Mistama, that they're going to meet at 10 o'clock. I'm going to leave at 10. I made up with my Rebbetzin the same. And I went outside. It was already 10 o'clock. My Rebbetzin came out, mamish, a couple of minutes later. He, meaning Chaim Yankel, Chassidish Yid, standing outside, and there is fire coming out of his ears. There is. I can feel the heat. And I see he's pacing back and forth. And I understood in a flash, in an instant, what's going on. Although I don't know him from Adam. He is waiting for half an hour. And his wife, states, there's no kasha. But you can't do anything. And he's too frum to ask a woman, go find my wife. A strange woman is walking into the women's section from the two separate doors outside. And there's nothing you can do. So he's waiting and he's frustrated to the bone. Now, Aaron HaKohen has certain responsibilities that other people don't have. Ayyav Shalom, Barayyav Shalom. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I resolve this matter? Because when she comes out, he's going to kill her. I go over to him and I say to him, you just answered a Shvera Gemara. So he looks at me like I'm crazy. First of all, who's this person? And secondly, what Gemara are you talking about? So I said, listen. I said, we come from Litta, we're from the Vilna Gaon. We have images of people sitting and learning with such asmada that they shutter the windows so they should have no disruption. And they put their feet in cold pails of water. They should stay awake even when they're exhausted. What do the women do? And the Gemara says, what are the women, Zoycha, the Chelik and Torah, equal to the men? Because they wait for their husbands to come home and they wait for the children to come home. We put our feet in cold pails of water and they wait and they get the same schar. What's going on? So I said to him, from time to time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the men wait so they should get an understanding of what it means to wait. As if, min hashamayim, the signal was given, Sprintzer comes out the door. He has this magnificent smile on his face. And he says, Sprintzer, lamedegainahem. And I felt I did my job for the day. But waiting is not poshut, because it's not waiting. We're not talking about somebody waiting outside for 20 minutes. We're talking about a life's perspective here. We're talking about somebody who, first of all, has all the feminism of today. They balk at this in the worst way, because they're saying, what are you talking about? I'm not an appendix to you. I'm not an extension of your needs and your will. I have my own life to live. I have my own ego. I have my own personality. I have my own kodesh hanefesh. I have my own creativity. I have my own soul. Why should I be yours? And the whole of Yiddishkeit says that you need that particular nekuda, otherwise the whole of society falls apart. And this is a very big problem, Bizman Hazeh. Even in our own circles. You know, so I also want to learn Gemara. Why should just the Koreans learn Gemara? I also want to learn Gemara. This is an unbelievable problem. So, the Torah created a Jewish civilization. And the Jewish civilization is anchored in the men being Omel Batayra, for which you require the attitude and the value of every single member of that civilization. And the whole thrust of its economy and the whole thrust of its value system on every level, because otherwise it will not happen. That's why it's called Teilechu, and that's why it's called a Derech. Because the difference between a Maisa and a Derech is that the Derech is the overarching perspective that allows for an entire civilization to happen. And that's in Imbechu Kosai Teilechu. By the way, it's very fascinating that the same term and the same imagery is used, Lagabi the Goyim, and are staying away from their Derech. V'lo Selchu B'chukos HaGoyim. In B'chukosai Teilechu, V'lo Selchu B'chukos HaGoyim. So what is Chukos HaGoyim? The answer is, it's not one particular thing. It's whatever makes them who they are. And their value system, don't buy into their value system, is Lo Selchu B'chukos HaGoyim. And in B'chukosai Teilechu, buy into your value system. What is your value system? What is the central focus that defines our value system? Shetiyu ameilu batar. If that's the case, you understand the difference between derech and mitzvah and maaseh. So that's what he says. Voidata lahem es haderech yelchuba, and there's a siyata d'shmaya to stay on that derech. Now the Malbim says, what happens if of necessity, interestingly enough, you veer off the derech? He's not talking about people who wandered off the derech. He's talking about people who need that little loop. You're going on the highway. This happens to me all the time. You're going on the highway, and there's a construction. So you got to go off the highway. What do you do next? You go on the highway, and you want to get off at a certain exit. The exit is blocked off by a police car. What's going on? The Halakha Marathon. The Halakha Marathon. So you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to go to the next exit, and then I'll come around. Go to the next exit, another police car. And finally you say, does it go to Baltimore? I have to do it. No, Baruch Hashem, it stops, you know, on Grand Street or whatever it is over there. But the fact of the matter is that certain times that you must go off that road. So what are the examples that he gives? Very interesting. Fascinating. Because he gives two very discrete examples, very distinct examples. One example is where you are doing something that is not expected of everybody, such as, what does he call it? Chabidas Chasidus. Or, equivalent, Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. There are certain times that you do more than is expected of everybody. And his imagery, fascinating, is that you're going off the derech. Now, wait a minute. But it's not our off the derech, but it's still called off the derech, which is fascinating. Why is it so fascinating to me? Because it means it isn't like I have my derech, you have your derech. So my derech has midas chasidus in it. So why am I going off the derech? That's my derech. No. He says there's one derech. And midas chasidus is, and that's part of al tehit tzadik harbe. Fascinating. It's mamish fascinating. So he says, but sometimes you have to go off. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you manipulate, maneuver that particular detour. Remarkable idea. And then he says there's another category which has nothing to do with my personal Midas Chasidus, and that is Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. I have a special feeling for this, by the way. Now, not because I'm a Kohen. Because I just wrote a sefer, basically, about this Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel business in Halacha, about what it means to do something that undermines the Torah for the sake of the Torah. So there's a huge Malkin V'Einshin Shaloi Min Hadin, and on and on and on. So I just, my most recent sefer is on that topic. So I have a feeling for this. He's saying that Hashem mefalesu mechaven gamis ha-ma'agal shiagia al yodo el haderech ha-yishora. You see, basically, Elyon HaRakarmel is playing with fire. It's mamish playing with fire. Okay. That's just the way I am. I can't help it. The puns just happened. They're not, you know, it's not my fault. Don't blame me for that. But you know what I mean? It's, you see, because every time you're not allowed to make a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was built. And here you go, and you're making a korban in Har HaKarmel, far away from the Beis HaMikdash. And you're not allowed to do that. It's upon pain of death. Now, how does Elio do something like that? So now, it's very fascinating. I'm not going into it. He was a Navi, so Hashem told him. But you see, that serves in the Gemara as a source for Bezdin being permitted to punish people in certain ways. And when you punish somebody, if it's inappropriate, you're over on Chavolah, or to kill somebody for certain things, which the Torah does not recognize, then you're committing murder. And they're not Nevi'im. And they weren't told by Hashem, at this moment, do this. What's an example of it? So the Gemara says that in the time of the Chashmonaim, when the Greeks were making tremendous inroads and undermining the Torah, Bezdin killed somebody for doing something that is not Chayav Misa from anybody's Shita. Namely, that he was riding on a horse on Shabbos. How could you do that? So you see that there's an inyan that you go off the derech. For what purpose? For what sake? To preserve the whole derech. But there's a tremendous sakana. Because when do you know that you're allowed to do that, number one? And number two, when do you know that that doesn't itself undermine the whole derech? Maybe it creates a new derech. You know, you can go on a detour, and there's a big sign that says detour. And the road is all broken and everything, and it's crystal clear that this isn't the new road. But sometimes, you can confuse the detour for the new derech, and then the old derech suddenly is no longer used. Especially if the construction is going on for years. So how do you know that's just a mashal, but how do you know in Yiddishkeit? That's a tremendous, tremendous thing. The biggest example is Hasidus itself. So the Misnagdim of that time, including the Vilna Gaon, it's a tremendous reaction. The Maisa, in retrospect, it's a very, very interesting question which is never going to be resolved. The Ravon Shalom promises that Klal Yisrael will never dissipate, they'll never lose their balance completely. We have millions of Jews who assimilate them. And the fact of the matter is, if it wouldn't be for Hasidus, who knows if there would be anything left. It's almost like Mitzrayim. Because Hasidus preserved the Mesiras Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. There's no question about it. So when you start looking at something, and you wonder, is it a new derech? Are we going therefore off the derech? And what right do we have to do that? So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us siyata d'shmaya to allow you to be mefales the magav. That's what the Malbim is saying. He gives you the perspective and the directions, the instructions, and he gives you the path to get back to the road. So when you're going around in a circle, you know, when they have these, you go off and you come back on the other side, and you're going in the opposite direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to continue going in the same direction, even though you made a detour. And that's not always so pashut. So you need for that a special siyata d'shmaya. So sometimes it's my own personal detour, for the most righteous of reasons, but af al pi kein, because there's really one derech. And sometimes it's Klal Yisrael's detour, such as Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel. But be that as it may, and sometimes it's a Horah Shoah for one day, and sometimes it seems to be a new perspective, but it's only a new perspective for hundreds of years. Like the Chafetz Chaim once said, there used to be Chassidus, there used to be Misnagdim, now everything is the same. So therefore, there's no cheirim, there's no intermarriage problems, there's no issues. So he gave a mashal. He said there was one family that ate only milchiks, another chelik of the family ate only fleishiks. When they had a reunion, the parents used to serve potatoes. That was his mashal. Everybody can eat potatoes. If you're parav, you're parav. He says, today everybody's parav. You know, that fire of, you know, the machloikas is gone. But the point is that there is a derech that sometimes is contravened almost. So you have to know how to get back, and there's a siyata d'shmaya. That's what he says. Hashem mefaleis u'mechavein gamis ha-magal sheyagia al yodo el ha-derech ha-yishara. That's what he says. The Vilna Gaon, in contrast, does not see the positive derech and the differences and the nuances of the derech that's positive. He learns the same pasuk in the negatives of a person who's chasing after either his taiva or his chemda, one of them which he calls derech, which is further away from home, as it were, and one which he calls ma'agal, which is closer to home. And he says, "Dehainu mipneisha bal taiva eino holich baderech eliyoshe beveso veroel lemalos tavoso al yedei gilgulim v'sibos." Lachain oimer shemagloisov Hashem mefalis. He says, "Don't think that Hashem doesn't judge you and measure every one of those steps, even though you're staying home." I want to say something about this. The few minutes that we have remaining, which I think is very important. Idea. Hashem knows the truth. Avol taiva hu behester, lochein omar shu mefalis kmo kavanos l'shem shamayim, kamo kavanos l'shem shamayim, v'kamo kavanos l'shem tavoso. It's a very remarkable thing. Somebody once came over to me, and he was very confused, and he told me that he was nichshol recently on the internet in looking up these sites that you're not allowed to look at, and he described it to me because he felt that it was important for me to realize the severity of what was involved. So he described to me in some detail what he was viewing, and then he said a very interesting thing. He says, I was looking at these things, and whatever consequences as a result, and then he says, I was filled with an extraordinary remorse. And he says, and he tells me that the remorse was such that I couldn't conceive what it is that made me so pressured and so attracted to begin with. So I don't understand it. If I, Mela, he tells me, he wants to understand his own koiches hanefesh. And he's coming to me. I don't know why he's coming to me. But he's coming to me, he wants to know, if I don't have any of these feelings of remorse, if I'm not a person who feels guilty, then I'm stamen oisbarf. You know, I'm a bum. So I basically threw in the towel. I gave up my avodas Hashem. But if I have such an unbelievable feeling of guilt, then it must be that I'm a drew of it, Hashem. So I have to get involved in this to begin with. So I told him, if you want my personal opinion, I want to tell you two separate things. Number one, that it is in the nature of the Yetzer Hara that at the what you perceive as the moment of taiva, ask yourself a second before if somebody would come over to you and ask you, what you're about to do, is it right or is it wrong? What would you answer? So he tells me, of course, I would say it's totally wrong. I would ask you a little bit further. Is Gan Eden or Gehenna? He says it's Gehenna. Then you ask a little bit further. Is it Kedai or is it not Kedai? He says, definitely not Kedai. So I said, so what happened? So the answer is that all those cheshbonos come from a certain higher level of your koiches hanefesh. And they are suspended as if the switch was pulled. and it's only after they're suspended that the rest of it can take over. If you would be able to keep the switch on, then none of this would ever be able to happen. And I told him, I want to tell you something else. Don't ever think that that feeling of guilt is agut azach. Or in other words, that now your balance has come back. It hasn't come back at all. The guilt consequence is the switch going back on. But it doesn't in any way mediate the possibility for the switch getting turned off 10 minutes later. There's an unbelievable nekuda in the kaychus hanefesh of a person that basically he's a shmata. That's the truth. We have all these ideas and all these kaychus, but they can be suspended in a flash. And that is exactly why the Goyin speaks about somebody who has the possibility of even imagining that is kavonas al Hashem Shamayim. So this is how it works. No one goes who's basically beseder. We're talking about people who are erlichayim. No one goes and says, I'm going to go find myself an internet, and this is my plan. My plan is to pick a site, I don't even want to say out the word, that is the biggest schmutz, and I intend to satisfy myself at that site, and then I'll go back to the Gemara. And that's my plan for the day. That's my Seder Hayom. Yeah. No one, that person is not normal. You know why? Because you see, that means that the switch is on, and Afal Pi Kein. So if he's Stama, an Oisvarv, that means he doesn't really believe in anything. But if he really believes, then there's something very wrong. His psychological mechanism is completely distorted. He's not normal. But if a person is normal, he'll never be able to make such a plan. So what happens? The answer is, I need to relax. I need to relax. So what does it mean to relax? To relax means something kosher, takes away from Torah, takes away from Yirah Shamayim, but it's kosher, quote unquote. Because I need to relax. Now relaxing is very interesting. Some relaxing because you're exhausted. Some relaxing because your brain is full of Kedusha. You know where that kind of relaxing is most evident? Motzei Yom Kippur and Motzei Pesach. The people who run to the pizza store Motzei Pesach are not following the Shita Sagra that in order to prove that the only reason they ate matzah all Pesach long was because of the mitzvah, so they make havdalah on beer. We're not talking about these people. The people who are this mad rush to eat chametz is a mad rush to be normal. Because you're in a moment of kedusha for 8 days in the inyan of eating chametz. Matzah Yom Kippur is a dangerous time. How could it be? I just finished Hashem Elokim. So if you look at Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, like we mentioned before, so Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, 5 minutes later, they're trying to kill Eliyahu. What happened? What happened to the Hashem Elokim? So you'll say, no, that's Izebel. Izebel has to have a people. She has to have henchmen. She has to have people who follow her. The whole of Klal Yisrael must have been like that. You know how I know? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu, Malach Eliyahu, so Eliyahu answers, the people aren't terrible. They broke your Mizbeach. It's like Harakamu never happened. And they're trying to kill me, and I had to run away. So what's going on? The teretz is, you can have Hashem Elokim as much as you want, but I'd like to add a little bit, if you'll allow me to don a psychologist cap for a moment, that it's dafka because of Yom Kippur that post-Yom Kippur is a sakana. In other words, it's not because Yom Kippur didn't do the job, it was only a temporary fantasy, and they're really not so good to begin with. It's because Yom Kippur did the job. What do I mean? So it was my way of saying something like that. At the end of Yom Kippur, we had this shul is an unbelievable makom kaddish. It really is. And the olam is on a very high madrega. I told them, we did such an unbelievable avodah Yom Kippur. There was no break. No break at all. We just went straight through. No break. It's a little earlier now because Yom Kippur this year was later than usual. And there was no break. We went straight through from 7:30 in the morning till whatever was Mitzvah Yom Kippur, and that's it. So I said to the Eilim, we did such an avoda. How about doing it again tomorrow? You know that there wasn't a single volunteer? Including the Rav. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, what we speak about being boss of Adam, and what Yiddishkeit tries to accomplish with our Olam Hazeh, to be the prozdor to Olam Abba, it's all very nice on paper, and it's totally true. And it's an unbelievable agenda for human beings. But the human being inside of us refuses to be malachim. You want to sit in a cave your whole life and sit and learn Torah Yoimim V'Laila? You don't want to do that. You want to live. You want to breathe. What about this beautiful, gorgeous world out there? Somebody the other day asked me, so what about the Chazal that says that you'll have, you'll be challenged, you'll be chastised for all the possibilities of having Hanok from the world which you did beheder, which you didn't enjoy. So the person says, I need to relax. So what is relaxing? So somebody says, you know what, come with me for a drive and we'll look at the change in colors in the trees and we'll be nana from the Niflois HaBayre. Another person says, I don't have time for that, but I'm going to go on the internet and I'll check out a couple of sites and I'll find out what's going on in the world and I'll see what's happening and I'll look at some pictures of Yosemite National Park or whatever it is, and I'll relax. 15 minutes later, he's one step beyond that, but not yet over the hill. 15 minutes after that, he's over the hill. That's what the Vilna Gaon is talking about. That's the L'shem Shamayim that leads a person to perdition. The sudden has this unbelievable koach to slowly but surely pull you in, because he knows that you're never going to say, this is my agenda. Because that's a person who's sick, that's a person who's addicted. We're talking about regular people. And that's this incredible sakona, that everything is there for you. You can go from a shir to one of those sites without batting an eyelash. How could it be? Because the Torah says, now you're in front of it. Now you have access to it. So this is the unbelievable sakona. But the Gaon says that the tragedy of the person that he wants to be memale his taiva is that he has the sense, if you want to reduce it, you know, to the basics, he has the sense of his being human deserves attention, and that is a chelik of his avodas Hashem, because he's not a malach. And the ramifications of it are unbelievable. A person could get involved with a woman, and it's definitely also yes, neither, not neither, older, younger, it makes no difference. So Percy asked the person, what are you talking about? He says, listen, I'm only human. What does it mean I'm only human? It doesn't mean that I succumb to a taiva which I was fighting yoimim v'layla. What it really means, and this is my interpretation, maybe you'll disagree with me. What it really means is that I want to be human. I don't want to give up that being human, because I don't want to be a malach. And there's a lot of that raging inside of every single one of us, except for the Yechidei Sgula, that was Oifa, to be Malachim. But all these stories about people who sequestered themselves, and they don't look out of their Dalet Amos, and they sit with their feet in the pails of water that I was describing earlier, they are not us. And because they are not us, we have to ask the question, is that what we're striving for? So the answer is, in theory, why not? They seem to be given a lot of credibility in Chazal and a lot of support in all the, you know, all the biographies are written about such people. So yes, the person's soul. He doesn't say, I can't do it. That's what he says. He says, I can't do it. But what he really means is, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up my being human. I don't want to give up my taivas. So the argument always begins that my taiva is l'shem shamayim. The biggest l'shem shamayim is that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me. You know, I don't want to go off the deep end. I don't want to be peculiar. I don't want to be a caricature. That's also l'shem shamayim. So the whole notion of the Gaon is in three words here, but it's volumes. In terms of the religious psychology of a person. So he says, I'm going to relax. And then he relaxes a little more. And before long, he's mamish. And then, of course, comes the guilt. Because the guilt says, but you had no right. But that guilt is not a kosher guilt. So people think, you know, like that's charot l'shava, and now it's going to be the kabbalah l'haba. That guilt is the solution to the problem that he realizes he's full of steers. Once the guilt is over, which doesn't last all that long anyhow, somehow he manages to survive for the next day. And all of a sudden, the guilt turns out to be an expiation. Guilt can never be an expiation. Guilt has to always be a trigger of reaching a higher level. That kind of guilt never reaches to a higher level. Never. Because it's a guilt that's built into his organic sense of self. Because I have to look at myself in the mirror tomorrow. And it's not even something that's explainable. It's not a logical kind of guilt. It's a guilt that just seizes you. It's a chelek of the satisfaction of the taiva that the guilt comes afterwards. It's almost a component of the taiva. If you don't agree with me, then, you know, by all means, we're going into deep territory over here. But the fact is, I think that that's what the going is talking about. I don't think he means that. I have this idea, l'shem shamayim, that I'm supposed to do something. It's like, you know, an aveira l'shma, something like that. I think it's the basic taiva always gives you the opportunity to feel that it's l'shem shamayim. And the biggest l'shem shamayim, is that I'm human. And I'm entitled. And I'm entitled to fail. And the truth is, you are entitled to fail, in a certain sense. But only in the sense that it doesn't mean that you're condemned because you failed. But in the sense that, so, it's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, there's no such thing in Yiddishkeit. It's not okay at all. It's never okay. So a person has to say, well, Eibazoi, what do I do now? That's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is that guilt that I was talking about never leads to the next step of redemption, which is to get rid of the nisayon. Never leads to that. Because deep down, that guilt says, there'll come a time when I'll have the nisayon again and I won't mind it one bit. Because I'm human. And that's why that guilt is really, I would almost suggest that it's the Satan himself. I know most people think, you did an Avera, then now you feel bad about it, and you feel guilty, and that's a very wonderful thing. I don't think that it's wonderful at all. Not because the alternative is not to feel guilty. Because that guilt seems to be a tzad hatoyv, suddenly correcting the imbalance. And I think it's the end of the imbalance itself. The correction hasn't even begun. I think it's just the end of the imbalance itself.